Bible, go to the New Testament, the book of Hebrews this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. It's been called the Hall of Fame of Faith, the Heroes of the Faith chapter of the Bible. I want to speak to you this morning about faithful followers. Faithful followers. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. Would you stand to honor the reading of God's Word? Hebrews chapter 11. And I'll start reading in verse 30. Faithful followers. Listen to what the Bible says in verse 30 of Hebrews 11. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. You can be seated, and as you are, let's pray together. Father, thank you for the words of the song that we've just sung. God, you are faithful, and we will see you do it again. God, I thank you for this message, and I pray now that, Lord, it wouldn't be man's wisdom, but it would be a demonstration of your presence and your power, a demonstration of your spirit. We know you are alive, and we know that you're well, and we know you have a word for everybody in this place today. So drive that old devil away, the demons away, and may you be the only one that moves today. And God, I pray when we get to the invitation, we'll have the ability to respond with courage and conviction. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23 that if you can believe, all things are possible to the one who believes. So I want to ask you this question right here at the beginning of the sermon. What are you believing God for? I don't think God has grown tired of wanting people who will live by faith. I don't think God has grown tired of working on behalf of those who will live by faith. I think he is actively searching today, just as he was in ancient past, for people who will dare to believe him and dare to believe his word. It's interesting to me when you read Hebrews chapter 11 that the word faith is mentioned 24 times in that one chapter. And in every case in the Greek New Testament, it means the same thing. To trust in Jesus. To trust in Jesus. So I began to think about that. I asked myself this question. What am I trusting God for? More specifically, what does God want me to trust him with? What does God want you to trust him with today? I think as a parent, God wants me to trust him with my children. And I think he wants me to trust him with the calling that's on my life. I think he wants some of you parents to trust him with your children and the calling that's on your life. I think for some of our students, he wants you to trust him with your career path and your college choice, not what just sounds good or may make the most money. I think for some of you that are single in here this morning that aren't married, he wants you to trust him with your mate and with your marriage, if it is his will that you get married. And even if it's not, he's going to give you the grace to go through that. But he wants you to wait. I think he wants us to trust him with our lives. I think he wants us to trust him with our livelihood, the legacy that we will one day leave behind. I think he wants us to trust him with our dreams, our ambitions, our homes, our health. I think he wants us to trust him with our security, our savings accounts, and our souls. I think God wants us to trust him for everything forever. So I got a question for you. Are you going to be a Christian that lives by faith? Will it be said of you that you are a faithful follower of the Lord Jesus Christ? So I have a choice. I can either live by faith or I can live in fear. You know what fear does? Fear is the opposite of faith. Fear concedes. It gives up. Fear cowers. Fear depresses. Fear discourages and defeats. Fear paralyzes. Fear is the opposite of faith. And so fear panics as well. But think about faith for a moment. What does faith do? Faith conquers, doesn't it? Faith calms us. Faith deepens us. Faith develops us. Faith perseveres. Faith presses on. And so I want to dare you today to be somebody that lives by faith, that could have it said of them, I was a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And so I want to give you four reasons why in this passage that we need to be people of faith. Number one, faith in God enables the unlikely. Faith in God enables the unlikely. This is an interesting statement. Much of what you read in the Bible is common people doing uncommon things because of the presence and the power of God in their lives. More specifically, because of the faith they had in God. And so common people doing uncommon things. Some of you in here today, you view yourselves as insignificant or incapable or inept. Maybe you think you're ignorant or you're inexperienced. Faith enables us to turn from the approval of the world and seek only the approval of God. I want to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. For you see your calling, brethren, not that many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty and the base things of the world. And these things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. If you're still doubting out there this morning, wondering if I should be a faithful follower in Jesus Christ, look at the name that's mentioned right there in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. It's the name of Rahab, the harlot. And so listen to this. God will enable you regardless of what your profession is. The Bible says she was a harlot. Student, that means that she sold her body for money. And on top of that, she worshiped pagan gods. But the Bible says that she placed her faith completely in the one true and living God, the God of the Jews, the God of the Bible, and God did an amazing thing through her. So regardless of what your profession may be, God can enable you if you have faith in him. But also regardless of your pedigree, God can enable you regardless of your pedigree. Notice again in verse 32, it mentions Rahab. Now you need to know she was not a Jew. She's a Gentile. She's a Canaanite woman. And you may sit there and you may think for a moment that God only picks favorites or that God is only willing to use certain people. And that's not the case. She was not a Gentile, not a Jew. She was a Gentile, but she received the grace of God. So listen to this statement. Not only can God use you, but God is willing to use you. Not only can he use you, but he's willing to use you. One of my favorite verses, I think I've said it from right here before. I know I've said it to our students many times, is 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. And it says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the entire earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Look at what he did with Rahab. He not only spared her life when the Israelites conquered Jericho, but listen to this. He speaks to us today through her life. Amazing. Question, did you know that she's also in the lineage and genealogy of Jesus Christ as a Gentile, according to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5? So let me ask you this question. What does God want to do with you? I love this statement. She went from being a woman of the night to being a bearer of God's light. Amazing. Thank the Lord. Romans 5:20 says, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So what is your excuse? Some of you would say, I'm too young. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, he said, let no one despise your youth, but you be the example. In other words, don't let anybody look down on you because you're young. Students, this is what you need to understand. Sometimes old folks aren't willing to be used of God. And so God says, I'll use the young people. And I've seen that happen. So maybe you're in here today and you say, well, I'm too young. No, you're not. God will use anybody. Anybody. Notice when Jesus said that in Mark chapter 9, he didn't say, you got to be a certain age to believe. Got to be a certain gender to believe. No, God says, to the one who believes, all things are possible. So students, he can use you. Maybe you're in here and you say, well, I'm too old, Brian. That sounds good, but most of my life is gone. Well, the Bible says in Acts chapter 7 that Moses was about 80 when he started his ministry. That's incredible when you think about it. And so you just say, well, I don't think God could use me. Think about what I've just read for you in chapter 11. God used a hesitant man in Gideon. God used an insecure man in Barak. God used an arrogant man in Samson. God used a questionable man in Jephthah. God used an inexperienced man in David. And God used a disconnected man in Samuel. So if God can use this prostitute and these men, he can certainly use me and you today. So what is your excuse? Are you saying I've waited too long or I've done too much wrong? You hear those excuses a lot. One of the most powerful worship services I've ever been in, Brent, was in a prison, believe it or not. I wasn't there as an inmate. I was just there. And our pastor at our church at that particular time in Ocala, Florida, and his wife got invited to go preach and to lead a service inside of a prison. And they asked me and Rachel to go. We were young in the ministry. Another couple that our pastor was discipling, and they asked one of our students who was a worship leader. They said, they've invited us to come. We want you guys to come, sing, give a testimony, and then pastor was going to preach. And so I don't know if you've ever been in a prison to go visit somebody or go inside, but it's kind of an intimidating experience. You walk in, they close and lock a door behind you. And then you walk a little bit further and they lock and close another door behind you. And then they gave us this like beeper buzzer thing. And they said, if something goes wrong, just buzz this and help will be on its way. I'm like, what does that mean? I mean, you know, what's going to happen in here? And so you're a little bit worried going into that place. And we walked into this room. There's probably 80 or 100 inmates in there. And you could just sense the presence of God in that place, Brother Mark. And boy, the fear just left us. And we were in there for about 3.5 hours. Nobody cared. Worshiping the Lord. About 20 people got saved. It was incredible. One of the highlight mountaintop experiences of my young saved life. And this is what we learned, Brent. The guy leading worship that morning, they had a little men's ensemble, probably 10, 15 guys up there just singing their hearts out. Put to shame some of us that sing. The guy leading that was a convicted double murderer and would never get out of prison. And so here's this guy convicted of double murder being used in all places, a jail, leading worship. And man, that guy just sang with tears running down his face. And sometimes you got to get to the bottom before you can see your way up. God can use anybody, my friend. So don't sit out there and give excuses to God. You know, I think God laughs at excuses. Because excuses can't stand in his presence. Because he knows what he's capable of. You may not know what you're capable of, but he knows what he's capable of. And he knows what he can do through you. Excuses are excused when you place your faith in God. Truly place your faith in him. So what does God want to do with you? D.L. Moody, another great example of somebody that God just radically changed his life, shook two continents with the gospel. And it was said of him that his English was so bad when he first started speaking that he couldn't say Jerusalem in the right way. He would say it in two syllables. It just butchered the English language. And yet God used him to lead thousands to Christ. But this is what he said about the Bible. He said it should be bound in shoe leather because it implies obedience. We don't want to just hear the word this morning. We want to go do something with the word, like James said in his book. So listen, faith enables the unlikely. But secondly, faith experiences the unbelievable. Faith experiences the unbelievable. Think about this. Faith is the key that unlocks the door to the miraculous. Faith is the key that unlocks the door to the miraculous. Doesn't this passage, when you read this, and the entire 11th chapter, make you want to go live by faith? It's extraordinary what you read, exciting what you read going on in here, but it entirely hinges upon faith. If you back up to chapter 11 and verse 11, you'll notice that it says concerning Sarah, the wife of Abraham, by faith, Sarah, herself also received strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age. People think, well, it doesn't think, it says it in the Bible. She was around 90 years old when she gave birth to Isaac. And they had to wait 25 years on that promise. But it says this about her. Listen, she judged him, speaking of God, faithful who had promised. How have you judged God this morning? Do you judge him as faithful or something else? Moses said, it said of Moses something very similar. In chapter 11, verse 27, it says that Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. The word implies to discern clearly. By Hebrew, it means to experience. So listen to this. Moses, by faith, treated it as if God was visibly standing with him. Both Sarah and Moses learned this. Faith is seeing that which does not exist as existent. Faith is that which is absent as apparent. Faith is seeing that which is impossible as possible. Faith is as much at home in the realm of the impossible as it is in the realm of possible. I like what Manly Beasley said, wrote so much on faith. He said, it's believing something to be so when it's not so in order for it to become so. That's a mouthful, but he knew what he was talking about. The great Scottish preacher, Dr. George Morrison, said this, the important thing concerning what we're talking about here is not what we live in, but what we look for. What are you looking for today by faith? I think sometimes our aim is too small. I don't think we expect enough from God. I think a lot of times we settle for the mediocre when God's got something far greater in store for us. Maybe your estimation of God is too small in here today. I remember right after this past year's Back to School Bash 2018, we had about 600 students in this place. If you hadn't been here, you're visiting, it was incredible. Some of you that have been seeing God bless this over the years, you know what God does that night. And I just say this, I think if we ever started to take credit for it, God would pull his hand off of it. I just believe that. It's such a work of his. 600 students from every major high school in our area, people being saved, three other youth groups that were with us this year. Just an incredible night that God's blessed over the years. And this is what was in one of my quiet times soon after the Back to School Bash. I read this verse in 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse 9. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. So why do we sell God short? Why do we walk around thinking he doesn't want anything special to take place like what we read of in Scripture? So real quickly, listen to me. Two things. By faith, the miraculous is possible. By faith, the miraculous is possible. The Christian life that lives by faith has limitless potential. By faith, listen to what happened in these people's lives. He lists some great accomplishments. They overcame enemies. They overcame the elements. They went from being carnal to being Christ-like. It's most likely when it says they stopped the mouths of lions that that's a reference to Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den for being a faithful man. And the Bible says that those predators, those lions that can take down a full-grown bull water buffalo, went from being predators to being pets. That's one of those stories in the Bible I just can't wait to talk to Daniel about. I want to know how many there were. I want to know if one of those big 500-plus pound male lions just let him lay his head right there on his shoulder and said, would you scratch me just right here? I'm a little bit sore this morning right there. Man, they've been beating on me in this place. Hadn't had anything to eat. Just go ahead and scratch me right there. And that big male lion just yielded at the presence of God in that place. By faith, it says they went from being weak to being warriors, from being the hunted to doing the hunting. By faith, death was not only cheated, but death was defeated. Faith can operate in the life of any person who will dare to listen to God's word and surrender to God's will. It's total denial of self and total reliance upon him. So the miraculous is possible by faith, but it's also permissible. You have to believe first, then you receive. That's what the Bible says in Hebrews 11:6. It says you got to believe that God is. And that's he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It says it's impossible to please him without faith. Interesting story takes place in Acts chapter 10 regarding this story, or this concept we're talking about. Peter in Acts chapter 10 has seen a vision. And it was an interesting vision. In synopsis, it was God telling Peter, what I have cleansed, you are not to call unclean or common. God was telling him, I'm about to have a ministry with the Gentiles. I'm about to pour my spirit out on the Gentiles just as I did the Jews. Prior to that, a man by the name of Cornelius, a Roman centurion who was a God man. He loved the Lord. He sought after God. He had appreciation in his heart for the Jewish people. And he, prior to Peter and this vision, had been visited by an angel because he was seeking after God. And the angel said, you need to go find Peter and he will tell you what you need to do. So I want to read something to you real quickly in Acts chapter 10. Listen to this, picking up in verse number 18. So that delegation, they find Peter, and it says this, they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down, go with them, and here it is, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. The Spirit of God sent them. Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, yes, I am he whom you seek. What reason have you come? They go on to explain to Peter, our boss has sent us. He's been visited by this angel. He said to come find you. Will you come back to Caesarea with us? And so they spend the night with Peter. The next day they go down to Cornelius' house and there they find a lot of people. We don't know the size of the crowd, but a lot of people had gathered that day with Cornelius. And Cornelius tells Peter, you're supposed to have something to say to us according to what the angel told me. And this is what Peter said to him in verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. Peter preached the gospel. He talked about Jesus being raised from the dead. And the Bible says while he was speaking, the Holy Spirit fell on those people. They got baptized. Everybody in the place got saved and baptized that day. That's an incredible church service to be a part of. But listen, it all hinges on the fact that Peter had a choice to make. The Spirit of God moved in his life and said, go, and I don't want you to doubt anything. Had Peter said, no, I'm fearful, I don't want to do it, God would have raised somebody else up to go preach to those Gentiles. It all hinged on him believing first, and then he saw what God was able to do. So you got to believe first. Sometimes we think, God, if you would just dangle that out there in front of me so I know what I'm getting myself into, I'll follow you then. And God says, why? Don't you just trust me? Look at what I've done in your life. Why will you not trust me? Just follow me. That's what he said. That's what he says. So think about this. How many blessings have you missed out on because you don't live by faith? Let me ask you another question. Aren't you tired of missing out on blessings? Being stagnant, being stale, being frustrated, having a little bitterness and resentment in your heart toward those that are living out their faith? Our assignments might vary. God's got a different assignment for every one of us. They might vary, but they all need to have a miraculous component to them. And most likely they're all going to, if God's involved. So once it's been said, if you can explain what's going on in your ministry, God's not involved in it. Because if we can explain it, that means it's done by human wisdom and human ability. But if you just sit back and you say, I don't know how it's happening, I just know it's happening. That's a great place for you to realize God's the one that's doing it. So may it be said of us as a church that it's unexplainable what's taking place. Pastor Bill has said from this very pulpit that the nickname of this church for its first 10 years was the miracle on Hardy McManus Road because people just couldn't explain it away. And listen, if it's God's work, it's not going to be explained away. But what have we done lately? What have we done lately that says we're miraculous and you need to come and be a part of what God is doing at Grace Baptist Church? If we all start living faithful lives, being faithful followers, people are going to want to come and see. It's once been said that if your heart's on fire, sparks are going to fly out and probably catch somebody else on fire. It's also been said that if you're burning, people want to come watch you burn. People just want to come see. They're attracted to that kind of thing because it's so missing in so many churches today. So it equips the unlikely faith, that is. It experiences the unbelievable. And then thirdly, it equips the unashamed. And I need to hurry. It equips the unashamed. The Bible says in Proverbs 28:1 that the righteous are as bold as a lion. These others that are mentioned in verse 35 and 36 are not necessarily leaders, but they're one distinctive trait is that they believed God and that their faith was strong. God will equip his children for whatever they're about to face. It's once been said, it takes more faith to endure than it does to escape. And this nameless crowd that you see, the Bible says that, man, what they experienced was horrific. It was excruciating when you read people being sawn in two. Jewish tradition said that Isaiah was sawn in two with a wooden saw because he preached truth. People being stoned. The Bible, according to Jewish tradition, not the Bible, Jewish tradition says that Jeremiah was stoned. Stephen in Acts chapter 7 was taken outside the city gates and stoned because he preached truth. Horrific stuff. And so listen to this. In our most tragic and troublesome moments, God will give himself and God will give his power to us. In our most tragic and troublesome moments. In closing, real quickly. Many years ago, at the end of the second century, going into the beginning of the third century, there was a young woman, listen to this guys, college students, 21 years of age. She had a brand new baby. She was married, hadn't been married very long. Her name was Perpetua. And she lived at a time under the Roman Empire when they were still cracking down on Christians. If they found out you were a Christian, history tells us that they would arrest you, persecute you, and if you did not deny your faith, they would execute you. And this young 21-year-old mother, new wife, was arrested because they found out she was a Christian, was taken to a Roman dungeon, and it said they repeatedly tried to get her to recant her faith, even dangled her little son in front of her, and said, "You mean to tell me that you love Jesus more than your son and your family? Just deny him." And the Bible, or not the Bible, but the history report says that she would not. What courage. And she was led to a martyr's death into the arena in front of hundreds that were there, just wanting to see some blood spilled that day. And they turned a wild animal loose on her. And then after that, they led her back out into the middle of the arena and raised her up on a platform. And she was killed by a professional executioner, gladiator type figure. But this is the amazing thing. It says when she was being led into the arena with some other Christians who were going to die that day, that she was rejoicing. She was singing psalms to God. And that she had such peace and such contentment and confidence because she knew that Jesus would stand with her. It is said of those early martyrs that they believed with all their heart that in their moment of greatest suffering, that Jesus would help bear the pain with them. Paul would amen right there because he said in 2 Timothy 4, when everybody else forsook me, God stood with me. So God has called us to be faithful today. It's time for some of us to stop whining about everything and start winning. Stop complaining. Stop being selfish and disappearing from church and decide to devote your lives to the things of God, even if it means it may require my life. Because Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with him. Let's bow our heads and let's close our eyes. No one's stirring around.